We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Today, we are on the eighth week of the series on a season of open doors. And I would like to finish off the theme today with the topic, the master key to open doors, the master key to open doors. We have been on a journey, and we started off from the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, where we referenced the church of Philadelphia, where Jesus appeared to this church and spoke very clearly to them, says, look, I've opened a door for you, which no man can shut. And he assured them that, listen, because you have not denied my name, even though you are of little strength, I have still opened the door. And he said, I've taken care of your enemies, the synagogue of Satan. He says, I've taken care of that. So we have been on that journey. And today we are looking at an example of a church that opened a door because of something that had happened in the land, and they decided to apply the master key, to use the master key in order to experience doors to be opened for one of the members of their church. And so we are in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 12. I'm just going to start reading because of time. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Verse 11. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning, and we pray that your word will transform our lives. Your word does not come for anything else but to change us. And so we open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The master key to open doors. It's a difficult series to finish, but I'm going to attempt to finish it today, and then I'll pick it up sometime in the future. There are seasons in life when evil seems to be winning the day. Wicked men and women get away with murder, and their popularity goes up, not down. It's very confusing, those seasons, because they seem to be progressing in life and advancing in all sorts of areas and prospering, while the righteous seem to be suffering for some reason. It's easy at such times to wonder, where is God in all this? Why did God allow this to happen in my life? How can any good come out of such an awful situation? It's easy to come to that conclusion. And in our text today, Christians in Jerusalem are in a firestorm of persecution and trouble. The church is in trouble. It's a time of serious crisis that became a concern for the church. King Herod was arresting Christians with the intention to persecute them. The king Herod, remember, is the grandson of Herod the Great. It is that king who ordered the killing of children when Jesus was a child. And he had to run away and go to Egypt to seek safety. So today we will look at the key to open doors that can work in your life during times when you don't understand what's happening. During those times when hope seems to be lost. During those times when you don't see a way out of your predicament. We're going to look at some keys or some things that we have to learn when we're in that situation. The early church was in that place where they just could not get it. What's happening? Because we are preaching the gospel. We're being faithful to what God told us to do, to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'll be with you all the way to the very end. And here they are. Herod seems to be gaining an upper hand. Herod seems to be making progress. The devil seems to be advancing his agenda when you compare to what God was doing. So I want us to look at that in detail. Here's the first thing I want us to take note of when we're facing a situation we don't understand, is that the enemy will always attempt to close doors that God opens. The enemy will always attempt to close doors that God opens. Acts 12, verse 1 to 5, where we read from, King Herod had arrested some believers, and he arrested James, who was one of the disciples. As for James, he killed him by the sword, the Bible tells us. And the next thing he did, because he realized that he was gaining support for what he'd just done, remember at this time there was Judaism and Christianity. Judaism was upstaging itself, trying to undermine Christianity. And so the King Herod was supported by those that were part of Judaism sect, as it were. And so when James was killed, there was support in Jerusalem. And he went on to try and arrest Peter at that time. King Herod was trying to win popularity with the Jews. You know, so he was enjoying what he was doing by giving Christians a hard time. But Peter was arrested, a key leader of that day. Why Peter and why now? Why Peter? The early church was exploding in growth and influence. From Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the church was literally exploding, reaching all sorts of places. The Bible says in Jerusalem, for example, the city was filled with the teaching of the disciples. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 28. And they had turned the city upside down. In Judea, Judea was now exploding with Christians. There were massive salvations happening all over the city, and lives were being transformed. And the gospel was reaching Samaria through the ministry of Philip. And then Caesarea, and then Antioch. In chapter 9, we meet Paul being saved. The very guy who was persecuting the church was now saved. So there was so much happening at that time. The devil tried to negotiate with the apostles. Remember in chapter 4, 5, they were arrested and God brought them out of prison. And Peter was arrested again. They tried to negotiate with them and say, listen, don't preach this Jesus thing. Okay? Okay, do anything else, but don't mention the name. Because the devil was afraid. When he realized he can't win with that strategy, the gospel mission was becoming unstoppable. Now that caught the attention of the devil because he realized that I can't stop this thing. Maybe the only way I can do is to get rid of the leaders. Let me lock them up. And when I lock them up, I'll kill them and make a public spectacle of them. That was the intention of Herod in Acts chapter 12. So they got the attention of the devil and his demons because the kingdom of darkness was being hurt big time. The kingdom of darkness was suffering losses as the kingdom of God was advancing. Like we're singing that God is this gospel is light in the darkness. It brings light where there is darkness. So you know, life, whatever there is darkness, when the gospel comes, it shines the light of God. So this attack on Christians, it's easy to start worrying about Peter because the situation was looking hopeless. The end was near for Peter. The devil was working through Herod. And as they looked at Peter, Peter was a dead man sleeping in that cell. But let me say this to you. This attack on Christians was a response from the kingdom of darkness. The enemy realized that something had shifted in the spirit realm. He was losing control. And he pulled out a new strategy to stop the advancement of the kingdom. And the strategy was very simple. Kill the leaders. Negotiation had not worked. Compromise had not worked. Remember in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira had compromised on their offering, so to say. And God responded strongly. Took them out. Compromise could not work. And this time around, the devil says, I'd rather just take them out. Now, because the enemy will respond when you decide to press into the kingdom of God. One of the major indicators that you have stepped through an open door in your life is feedback you get from the enemy. Whenever you are pressing into God, whenever you are opening doors in the spirit realm, whenever you are advancing in your spiritual life, you will get feedback from the enemy. And that feedback is called an attack on your life. In fact, one of the proofs that you are making advancement in your faith is that you catch the attention of the enemy. The enemy notices that, there's a young man who's rising in prayer somewhere. And there's a little bit of shifting happening somewhere because there's a young lady who's beginning to call on the name of the Lord. So you catch the attention of the kingdom of darkness because of the work you are doing in advancing the kingdom of God. And so the devil responded. And to make sure that Peter did not escape, the Bible says that Peter was guarded by 16 soldiers, if you like, because they were in the cell he was in. He was chained to 2 soldiers. And then at the door of his cell, there were 2 soldiers. There were 3 doors leading outside his cell. So on the first door, there were a set of 4 soldiers. And then on the second door, there was another set of 4 soldiers. And then on the gate to the city, there were 4 soldiers. So it took 16 soldiers to guard one man filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in 24 hours, King Herod needed 96 soldiers to guard one man filled with the Spirit of God. He wanted to make sure that I've had enough of this guy and his message. So these 16 soldiers on duty, they were on a shift of 4 hours each. Each group was having a shift of 4 hours, then they shift them. That's why after 24 hours, 96 soldiers would have guarded this one man who was chained for 24 hours. Because the devil was giving him feedback. You know, sometimes it feels hopeless. You try to pray, it's so hard. You try to go to church, it feels dry. You try to read the Bible, your eyes start closing. It feels so heavy. There's no way out. You are chained. You are guarded. There's no movement at all. It feels like the enemy is winning. It feels like. Peter, of all people, to the human eye, Peter was as good as dead. And verse 6 of chapter 12 is an interesting scripture because it says the guy was actually asleep. I mean, who would sleep in such a situation? I mean, this guy was asleep. Oh, my. The Message version says he slept like a baby. It's as though nothing was happening around him. Now you will remember that God had spoken to Peter. He said, listen, I know how you will die. This is not how you're going to die. Peter knew how he's going to die. And that was not one of the ways that he was going to die, through the use of a sword. So he had heard God speak to him. And so he takes a long nap. I don't know whether he was meditating or he was asleep, but the Bible says he was asleep. So we will believe what the Bible says. Now, in the meantime, Herod was pacing the floors up and down. He wouldn't sleep because I have to sort this guy out until he's dead. I'm not giving in. I'm going to keep changing shift after shift after shift to make sure this time round he's not getting out of prison. Meanwhile, God's plan was to release Peter and condemn Herod. Our God cannot be stopped. Despite the devil, whatever the devil is trying in your life, whatever cell he has put you in, our God cannot be stopped by the kind of cell you are in. Our God, there is no secure door that God cannot unlock in your life. It doesn't matter what the tricks of the devil are. It doesn't matter what kind of security system the devil has installed in your life. The point is, God is breaking through to fetch you out. God is reaching out for you. Help, your help comes from another place. My help comes from the Lord. Your help comes from a completely different source. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing, but your help is on its way. God is going to reach out wherever you are. God is going to find you. Whatever cell you are in, God is going to find you. It's not your problem anymore. It's called feedback. What you're going through is not because you've done anything wrong to God. It's because there are some things that you've been doing that have been making somebody angry in the spirit realm because you are pressing into God. And whenever you want doors to be opened in your life, you are declaring war on the devil. You will get feedback. And you have nothing to be afraid of because God is going to come for you. That leads me to my second point I want to share today. God is able to break you out of your closed doors. We read from verse 7 of Acts chapter 12 that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell to show you that Peter was in sleep. The Bible says, and the angel had to strike him on the side and wake him up. Say, quick, get up. And this guy was really asleep. God sent an angel to break Peter out of prison. Can you imagine that while Peter is asleep, heaven was busy? While Peter is asleep, heaven was coming through for him. It was no big deal to God to get Peter out of the most severe prison setting that Herod had set for this man, where they had thought that Peter is already finished. Yet God was still working something in heaven. Herod put up 16 strong soldiers to keep Peter in prison, and yet God sent only one angel to break him out of prison. Now that tells you who has power here. One angel to get Peter free. When it comes to spiritual doors and gates, it's not about numbers. It's nothing to do with numbers at all. It's about the power which you are connected to. It's not about how strong your gate is. When it comes to God, when it comes to spiritual things, it's about your connection with God. You imagine how high the halls were of Jericho when we spoke about the taking of Jericho City. Those halls were high, but yet God pulled them down. It's not to do with how strong your halls are or your gates. God can still get you out of that situation. You see, God is an amazing God. He says, is my hand too short to save you? In his Bible, he says, is it too difficult for the Lord? There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. God can do anything. God is saying it doesn't take much effort to break you out of your most impossible situation. In fact, he's a God of the impossible. That's what he does. Because sometimes we try and help God by getting in the way. Sometimes we try to help God by wanting everything done our own way without God's help. Sometimes we trip God by not believing what he has said in his word about our lives. Sometimes we don't listen to voices that are speaking into our lives to do with what doors God wants to open in our lives. Sometimes it's simply an issue of allowing sin and sinful habits to take root in our lives, therefore disconnecting ourselves from God. Let's not fall into those traps. Instead, we need to take note that Peter here, it was not his skill or craftiness as an apostle that got him out of prison. This guy was even asleep. So it really had nothing to do with Peter. It had to do with God's agenda for Peter's life. It had nothing to do with sympathy of the jailers. There were 16 of them. And you know, there was no way they were not going to be bribed to get Peter out of prison. In fact, they died for this. When King Herod woke up in the morning and said, "What happened to this guy?" When they were trying to explain that, "We stood there, and the next thing we noticed he wasn't there," he said, "You're going to die for that." And he killed all of them, 16 of them. We know that it wasn't to do with anything to do with Herod or the jailers or Peter. There is no explanation except to say that this was the power of God. This was the power of God. It had to be the power of God because an angel was sent to loose the chains. It was the power of God that opened iron gates. And even today in your life, it will be the power of God that will break the gates. I'm sure by now you have tried all tricks. I'm sure by now you have tried everybody on your contact list. Please help me. And all of a sudden, all of them say, if only you had phoned me last week. I'm sure you have tried all that you know and it's not working. Maybe you need to start relying on the power of God because God is faithful. God is faithful. In fact, Peter himself, the Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 12 in the book of Acts, says, when he came to his senses himself, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." This is Peter himself saying, "My goodness, what has just happened here?" Because when the angel came, the light shone in the cell. You must realize that they were so close to Peter, one on the other, on either of his side, with chains. They were chained to him. And an angel came on the side of Peter and the chains fell. There was something supernatural that happened today. And when the chains fell, Peter is thinking he's dreaming. The angel said, "Listen, put on your shoes, dress up, come on, dress up. And when he dresses up, the Bible says they just started getting out. He followed the angel. And what happened to the soldiers? We don't know. But they just became powerless. Now, we think that 21st century, we are smart. We think we came with the technology for automated gates. But the Bible says, Jaden, find that scripture. As they approached the gate, the Bible says it opened on its own. Oh, my. I mean, that technology was already in heaven. Amen. That technology is already in heaven because there is power in heaven to open gates that have been shut for ages in your life. As you approach them, they open. They have to because your help comes from the Lord. Your help is not of this world. So even iron gates have to respond to the power from heaven. And so they opened. You see, God is in the business of setting captives free. This is not the first time that God has done such a prison breakout. Or should we say a prison break in? Because the angel broke in first and then broke Peter out. So, because see, when the three Hebrew boys were in the fire, in the book of Daniel, what did God do? He broke into the fire and then broke them out of the fire. And so when the children of Israel were in Egypt, what did God do? He broke into Egypt and then broke them out of the hands of Pharaoh. I like this God because he comes to where you are. He doesn't speak from the other side of the fence. Say, hey, come over this side. You know our friends, what they do. Also, oh, no. Did I say I can't come to church? Oh, no. Come over this side, please. Come over this side. Because I don't want to be contaminated with whatever you have. This God, we say, he jumps into the mud with you and then pulls you out of the mud. This is the God we serve. He invented the book of Acts when the apostles were in jail. He broke in again in Acts chapter 5. An angel came in there and broke them out of prison. Because God wants to come where you are, where the enemy thinks he's got you, where the enemy thinks there's no way out, where the enemy thinks that's it, you are done for. That's exactly the time and the point and the season when God breaks into that situation and pulls you out. And whenever God breaks into your situation, he's not coming because he's touring the place. He's not coming because there's nowhere to go. It's because you have been sent help from heaven. And when heaven shows up in your situation has to bow to the will of God. It has to. It has to. And so Paul and Silas in Acts 16, they found themselves in a Philippian prison, a Philippian jail. The Bible says, there's a version that says in a dungeon, and they were chained on their feet. They were chained on their arms, on their hands. And the way heaven responded was shocking because there was an earthquake that was only felt by anyone who was in that prison. The one on the next street did not feel it. Now, God is in that business, by the way, where it's your area that feels the breakthrough. And anyone else involved in keeping your destiny locked somewhere, whoever is involved with that destiny will feel the earthquake. Amen. That's why you get feedback. Because you're shaking some things and they feel it. And so God breaks into prison, chains fall. A jailer goes almost to kill himself. And he says, what shall I do to get saved? And that day, the kingdom of God came into that man's family. That's the kingdom advancing. The kingdom advancing. It's such a serious matter to God that he will send an earthquake in order to break chains and doors and gates and get you out of your cell for the sake of the kingdom. This is the God we serve. God is coming for you. You are breaking out. It doesn't matter where you are. Peter was in prison, but he came out. No army can keep you in that prison. No legion can keep you in that prison. No demon can keep you in that prison. Nothing will keep you in that cell of depression, that cell of fear, that cell of inadequacy. You are coming out in Jesus' name. You are coming out. You are breaking out because God is breaking into your situation. You're coming out. You better believe it because God does not lie. He's not a son of man that he could lie or change his mind. He breaks into situations. Now, all I've been trying to say all this time is number three. Number three is the secret to all I've been saying for the last 7 weeks. Number three is the secret. The key to opening doors in your life is prevailing prayer. The key to opening doors in your life is prevailing prayer. Acts 12, verse 5. I'll read verse 5 and verse 12. Okay? I'll read verse 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, so Peter was kept in prison. If you're here, let's read it together. Let's read that last part together. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. But what? Oh, my goodness. Am I in church today? Am I in the right church here? God help me. God help me. God help me. Online folks, can you read with me? Acts 12, verse 12, Jaden. Acts 12, verse 12. Are we going to read now? Or should I ask the online guys to pray with me, to read with me? Okay, 1, 2, 3, let's read. When he realized, he went to the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together, and were what? And what were they doing?
Praying.
What were they doing?
Praying.
They were praying. They were praying. They were praying. You see, verse 5 is interesting. Verse 5. So, that statement is fine. So, Peter was kept in prison. If you end there, it's a sad story. If you end there, it's a hopeless situation in your life. If you end there, nothing seems to have to be changing in your life. I like how then it proceeds from there. He says, but, earnest prayer. But, earnest prayer. That is what changed the game. But, earnest prayer. Something happened there. These believers did not call a meeting to devise a plan to pull Peter out of prison. They did not call a meeting to put together a pressure committee to lobby King Herod to release Peter. No. These believers came together to pray and beseech God. They came to pray. They came to call on the name of God. You don't say, what can prayer do? But ask yourself, what is it that prayer cannot do? Because prayer can do anything. There is nothing impossible with God. And when we call on the name of the Lord, something happens. The master key to opening doors in your life is prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. I know it because it has worked in my life. All things are possible to him that believes. What is prevailing prayer? Prevailing prayer refers to praying earnestly in an intentional, passionate, persistent, shameless, see a way. That is prayer. It means to press in prayer even when you do not know how it will turn out. That word, earnestly, it's a medical term describing a stretching of muscles to its limits. Pray earnestly. Stretch yourself in prayer. Stretch yourself in prayer. So once in a while, for example, when you attend a prayer night, for example, we normally do a prayer night where we're gracious enough to say from 8 p.m. to 12 midnight. Very gracious. So that, you know, you are able to join prayer, and then Saturday you run around to do your usual stuff. That's okay. That's fine. But what that 4 hours is doing is testing your valves, your spiritual valves. It's stretching your spiritual valves so that you can pray. That's the idea. That if you can stretch your spiritual valves for 4 hours, you'll be able to do it 8 hours next time. That's the whole idea. That's why you don't miss those prayer meetings. They are meant to stretch your spiritual vibes. And so that with time, it becomes your standard. Someone say amen. I'm losing you here. I'm losing you here. These believers in the early church prayed earnestly without giving up. The force of their prayer was mightier than Herod's power. Their prayers generated energy that sustained Peter in prison. Peter was alive in prison because of the energy generated by prayers of the saints. The guy was even asleep. That's how powerful the prayer was. What power is your prayer generating today? Is your prayer making a difference? You see, we cannot fight this battle on our own. No matter how strong or talented we are, we cannot fight this battle on our own. What we face in our lives is something we cannot do on our own. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war." It says, "And my fingers for battle. He's my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." It's a battle we cannot get on our own. We need God to come in by our side, like the angel did. The Bible says he came and stood by the side of Peter, and he helped Peter out of prison, because it's a battle Peter, the chief apostle of the day, could not face on his own. Even Peter needed help. Even Peter needed a church to be praying for him. Even Peter needed an angel to break into prison to get him out, because it's not by might, not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So your hands, you see, in the spirit realm, you don't just fight the way you want. Paul says, "I don't just fight aimlessly. I don't just beat the air." The Holy Spirit has to train your hands for battle. He has to train your fingers for war. He does that when you connect with him. There's a certain way you engage in the spirit. There's a certain way. And the master key to engaging in the spirit is prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. The Bible says, while Peter was asleep in prison under very tight conditions, which the devil had set for him, I'm paraphrasing, an angel came to fetch him. Why? Because verse 12 says there were believers praying in the house of Mary. And they've been going on for a while. That was not one day. They've been going on for quite a while. The church in crisis gathered to pray and began to answer. God began to answer their prayers. As a nation, we're in crisis. I don't know if we were praying, but we got to. We must. You know why? Because prayer works. I've got news for you that God hears prayer and God answers prayer. God does answer prayer. Prevailing prayer opens doors in situations when we have no control. God can and does intervene. Men ought to pray. When Jesus was teaching on prayer, in Luke 18, he says, men ought to pray. It's not an option when you're a child of God to pray. Prayer is your operating system. It's not a question of, should I or should I not pray? Uh-uh. You live in order to pray. Jesus was saying, see, you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then he says, men ought to pray. Our very structure, our very system of creation is such that we ought to pray. So it's not something that you say, I can't do it. No, you were wired to pray. You were wired to call on the name of the Lord. That is your operating system. See, if you buy an HP computer, it's got an operating system that runs on it. So you can, if you put the wrong operating system, no matter how powerful your HP computer is, it won't function. But if you get the right operating system, all you need to do is to download. And then the system does its own thing. It's prayer. Prayer is an operating system for a believer. When you log into that and start living by prayer, you will see things begin to happen in such a way that you God will even surprise you. We are called to intercede on behalf of other believers. We are called to pray for our families. What doors do you need open in your family today? What doors do you need to open in your friends' lives? In our city here in Sheffield, we need doors of the doors of addiction, poverty, fear, and distress to be shut in our city. And for that to happen, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Prevailing prayer opens doors that we don't even know were there. There are doors that we don't even know that they are there, but God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Sometimes God answers prayers in ways we do not even understand or predict. The only way we can do that is to prevail in prayer. We say it's push, pray until something happens. Keep pushing until something happens. Don't give up. whatever you are going through as a family, as an individual, whatever we're going through as a church, I've got a message for us today. God is saying, don't despair. Keep praying. Keep pushing. Keep on keeping. Something will give in. The doors will break. That's what prevailing prayer is about. You don't just pray and run away. You keep praying. Keep calling on the name of the Lord, because prevailing prayer will release or dispatch angelic assistance to come your way. Prevailing prayer will enable miracles to break out. See, an angel was dispatched in heaven because there was a church that was praying. Something happens when we pray. Chains fell off. Guards are rendered useless. Something happens when we pray. Peter was spared from death because some believers were praying. Is it not Jesus who says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So prevailing prayer is the master key to opening doors in your life. It's more than asking. It's more than seeking. It's knocking on the door. You got to knock until the door opens. You got to knock until that door opens. It's not enough to just ask. Some prayer requests we have go as far as asking. Some go as far as seeking. But there are those of the kind that does not go away except by prayer and fasting. There are those of the kind that does not go away just by asking. You've got to knock on the door until the door opens. If you remember nothing else from this series, please remember this. When prayer fails, Satan prevails. When prayer prevails, doors open. The demons rejoice when a child of God is prayerless. The devil knows well that prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. So never underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate the power of a praying believer. Because the angel, someone once said that, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it is prevailing prayer that fetched the angel. Are you prevailing in prayer today? It's not just the prison break you are looking for. It's divine intervention in your situation. Because when we pray, things begin to happen. Doors begin to open. Prison that is strong enough that God cannot free its captives from. It is Jesus himself who said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It is Jesus himself who said these words. There is no situation so dire that God cannot provide for today. There is no life so ruined that God cannot restore it. There is no prison cell so fortified that God cannot break into. There's nothing. You can trust Jesus today to serve and protect you. He can deliver you. He can break into your situation. This is why he went to Calvary. That is the power that flowed from the cross. The power to set you free. The power to give sight to the blind. The power to proclaim the good news. This is what Jesus came for. To destroy the works of the devil and heal the sick. This is what he came for. To break doors of iron. To break doors with iron bars, he has come to break those. Because he is the King of Glory. He is the King of Glory, the Ancient of Days. And nothing can stand in his way. And that day, Peter came out of prison because there was a praying church. And I want to encourage us, church, that may we be a people of prayer. May we be a people that prevail and prevail and prevail in prayer, because man ought to pray. Man ought to pray. May we do anything else but be a people of prayer. We can be busy with many things as a church. We can be busy with many, many, many activities. But when we neglect this call for prayer, we will not break through doors. And as we declare that this is a season of open doors, we are also saying this is a season of prayer. Amen. It's a season of prevailing prayer. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And I know, Lord, as I pray, that there are situations that seem impossible among us today. That there are some like us that feel like we are in a prison cell, like Peter, where the enemy has set us up and secured us in a place that is hopeless. But this morning, by faith, we believe your word. You broke into that prison. Your angel broke into that prison and took Peter out of prison. And so we stand with our brothers and sisters in prayer today, because the believers were praying for one of theirs. And I pray today, standing with the believers across online or here on site, that Lord Jesus, you may come through. That Lord Jesus, you may break into those cells. You have been doing this for a long time, so it's not too difficult for you. Your hand is not too short to reach out to that man, to that woman who's caught up in that prison cell of depression, of fear, of despair, of inadequacy, of failure. Lord Jesus, that you may reach out your hand and pull them out in the name of Jesus. May you shine your lights in that darkness in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, according to your word, Lord, may you bring light in that situation. May you bring freedom in that situation. May you bring liberty in that situation in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, you may bring sight where there is blindness, spiritual blindness. Have your way, Spirit of God. Have your way. Break some gates today. Break some iron gates today, that you may come in, King of Glory. In the name of Jesus, break some gates. Break some gates in this auditorium right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I call on your name. Break those gates. Break those gates. Break those gates. In the name of Jesus, open those doors, my God. Even here, my God, online, open those doors, my God. Open the door of health for somebody right now who's sick, listening to my voice. That sickness, we break your hold over that man in the name of Jesus. That stronghold of health, that stronghold of sickness, I command you, loose that woman and let her go in the name of Jesus. Rebo sokodeba satarebo, remase kedebo sotoreba shekanama. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Rebo sokodeba shekenema sutorobo sukadaba sheke. That stronghold of depression, I command you right now, be loosed. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, I command you, loose, loose in Jesus' name. For we have not been given a spirit of fear, we've been given a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Ribo sokoreba, shenderebe. You gate of unemployment. You gate. Whatever spirit you're standing, closing that young man from getting that job, I command you, go in Jesus' name. Release that gate and go in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be so. And God's people said amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.